Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Kia ora everybody, I'm Jordan, host of the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. It's my hope that you find support and comfort in these stories, and I'm really looking forward to bringing you today's episode. Just a reminder before we get started that these are personal experiences and you should always seek medical advice before making any important decisions. I'm not an advocate for any particular model of birth or birth care, and this is simply a platform to share these empowering Kiwi birth tales with you all. In today's episode, I'll be speaking with Jana. Jana takes us through her two birth stories of her babies, Eddie and Thea. They're two extremely different birth stories, and I won't talk about them too much. I'll let Jana do that. But as a bit of a sneak peek, she takes us through her preeclampsia journey with her first birth and then her very quick and unplanned home birth with her second. Enjoy the episode. Hey, Jana. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about you and your family?
Well, I have two beautiful little babies. I have Eddie, who is 2.5, and I have Thea, who is 7 months.
Yeah. And where do you guys live?
We are currently living in Taupō. We moved down from Hamilton in August just to better our lives and whatnot, because Hamilton is just ridiculous at the moment.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. And do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey to pregnancy? Did you and your partner plan to get pregnant the first time around? Do you want to take us through that?
No, it was completely unplanned. We were uni students. I was even bartending and had my last exam at the time, and I wasn't feeling 100%. So I went to the doctor and had a pregnancy test. Lo and behold, it was a big fat positive, and we were kind of beside ourselves for a little minute there, but unfortunately we lost that pregnancy, and then 3 months on we fell pregnant with Eddie, and that was quite exciting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a shock, and sort of 3 months, a big thing to go through.
We still haven't wrapped our heads around the fact we've got two kids, but it was quite the shock, especially because we hadn't really known each other all that long, and I was always told that it'd be difficult for me to have kids, so it was quite the shock.
Yeah, and I think, did you mention in your email that you were using contraception as well when you got pregnant?
Yes, we were. We were trying to avoid.
So you were on the pill?
Yes. And we also used condoms, and it didn't stop these babies coming through.
Yeah. So how did you find out that you were pregnant the second time around?
I was, because I just finished uni, so I was going to go out with some friends, but then I was like, I was feeling a little bit achy, so I, in my boobs, so I had a pregnancy test, and that put a damper on my going out plans.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I was getting ready to go out, and then took the test and had a shower and come out, and I was like, oh, okay then. Well, it's nice. Threw the test at my partner, John, and he's like, cool, and just carried on with his PlayStation game. Very nonchalant about the whole thing.
Cool. And did you have many pregnancy symptoms early on?
With Eddie, I was quite sick from probably 6 weeks until I was about 16 weeks. I wouldn't say I had HG, but it was pretty bad, and I even had to take time off work. Yeah, I wasn't the best situation.
Yeah. And what about after 16 weeks? Did you have many other symptoms throughout that time?
No, not at all. Not until I, probably about 30 weeks, I started showing signs of preeclampsia, increased heart rate, swelling, and then I had a protein present in my urine, so that was quite fun. I ended up in hospital at just after 37 weeks with preeclampsia, and then wee Eddie was born just after 38 weeks because I was induced.
Oh, wow.
That was
and
fun.
Just if we take a quick step back a little bit, did you and your partner John go to any antenatal classes or anything like that before you gave
no,
birth?
No, we wanted to go to antenatal, but we were bartenders at the time, so we were working nights and not like that. The times where the antenatal classes were on, so we couldn't really do them. But so we just winged it and hope for the best.
Yeah, cool. And do you want to take us through your induction and then into your birth story now?
Okie dokie. So my induction, I was induced via cervidil. It's like a shoelace they put up around your cervix. And I didn't have the best time with the insertion. I did not enjoy it one little bit. It was quite painful for me. But the doctors and, well, midwives that inserted it told me that I'll probably go into labor in a few days, but that afternoon, I was induced at 10 a.m. And that afternoon at 3:30, I went into labor.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so that was quite nice actually to be able to go into, like, it was happening fast. And then it didn't really progress. And then at, I think it was, 10:30, I was given some sleeping pills to help me try and sleep away the pain kind of thing just until it progressed. And then I woke up at around 2 and I needed to go to the bathroom. So then went to the bathroom, had my show, and the midwives on duty came in, assessed me and said I was 9 centimeters, and I got rushed down to delivery. It kind of slowed down, and I was given, oh, I can't even remember the name, is it the drug and the drip to help things move along?
Syntocin.
And then that's the one, yeah. And at 11:14, I gave birth to Eddie. I also had an epidural, so about 5:30 that morning, I had an epidural. And so like at 11 a.m. I was told that I needed to start pushing because everything looked like it was all good to go. Because if I put my hand down between my legs, I could literally feel Eddie's head. It was the most bizarre feeling ever. And so yeah, at 11 o'clock I started pushing, and yeah, 11:14 he was born.
Amazing. And did you have any tearing or anything like that?
I had a second degree tear internally, so that was fun with the epidural wearing off and I could feel the stitches.
Yeah. Awesome. And did you know that you were having a boy?
Oh, yes, sorry. I knew I was having a boy. Yeah, so that was quite exciting for him to come out and actually be a boy. So I was just so worried that he wasn't going to be a boy. So I really wanted a boy. And yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, with the epidural, I had had a catheter. So what was being filled in the catheter was, it appeared I was having kidney failure.
Okay.
Because, the colour of my urine was cola coloured.
And that was to do with the preeclampsia or
it was,
something
yeah.
else?
So I was having organ failure from the preeclampsia. So I wasn't able to go to any birthing units to do my recovery.
Yeah, and so you had to stay in the hospital for a while?
Yeah. So I had to stay in the hospital, and which was kind of good because I was having problems with my latch. All the midwives in the hospital told me that I had good technique putting my breasts into his mouth, but he was just having a really hard time latching on. And so we saw a lactation consultant, and she told me, diagnosed me with having flat nipples. So we were given a nipple shield, and so that made breastfeeding him a lot, hell of a lot easier. Yeah. And so,
How long did you use the nipple shield for?
We used the shield with Eddie for 12 days because I unfortunately had to stop breastfeeding him because I had heart failure a week or so previously due to preeclampsia. Medication they'd given me was leaching through into my milk and also drying me up at the same time.
Okay, and so do you want to take us through that then, sort of a bit of the background and why that whole heart failure probably happened?
Yeah, so the night we left the hospital, on the Tuesday after he was born, and we spent the night at home, and I woke up Wednesday morning thinking I was having an asthma attack. Tried to remedy it, just carried on throughout my day, and about 7:30 that night, I was just like, I still can't breathe. And so John and I went to the hospital, and I got rushed into resus because I was having heart failure. And so my heart wasn't working as well as it should have, and my lungs were filling with fluid.
Oh my goodness, what a scary thing to have happen after you've just given birth.
So it wasn't the nicest. So I'm glad that I decided to go to the hospital, because I just would have played it off like, nah, it's no big deal, you know. Sure, I'm just being a hypochondriac, but no, it was apparently a big deal.
Yeah, and so what was the treatment for that? How long did you have to spend in hospital?
I spent a week in Hamilton's cardiology ward with a newborn, and I was on aspirin, a drug called metoprolol for high blood pressure, a drug called furosemide to get the fluid off my lungs, which also helped me lose all my baby weight within a couple of days. But that's the drug that also dried me up. And there was another one as well to help with, my heart, but I can't remember the name of it. That's the one that was leaching over into my milk, and I was told that it may happen. I was at peace. Like I was okay with the fact that I had to stop breastfeeding because I knew it may happen. It was a little gutting, but I was okay with it.
Yeah. And so after that week in hospital, were you able to go home?
Yes. Yeah. So John and I went home to my parents' house just to rest, take things nice and slow, and have that extra pair of hands, I didn't overdo it and end up back in the hospital.
And did you stay with your mum for a while, or how did you adjust to that sort of newborn period?
Once we left the hospital, we went and stayed with my father, and we spent about a week there and just winged it, really. I mean, Eddie, as a newborn, he was a pretty good baby. Once we switched him onto formula, then that was a little bit difficult because he ended up having reflux and was a little bit colicky. Yeah. So ended up a little bit sleep deprived and a little bit mental.
Yeah. And how did you find your physical recovery from giving birth? I mean, obviously you spent time in the hospital because of your other conditions, but what about sort of giving birth? How did you recover physically and even emotionally from that experience?
Because I was bedridden, I ended up with a minor infection in my stitches. So I was given some antibiotics for that. But I think also being bedridden helped me, I guess, physically recover. I suppose pretty easy to just bounce back, I guess. But emotionally, I don't know. I guess I just kind of did it. I suppose I just had this little person to focus on. I just put everything else out of my mind and just looked after this beautiful little boy.
Yeah, awesome. And did you get your period back after a little while because you weren't breastfeeding anymore?
I got it back. I had postpartum bleeding probably my period as well, but I bled for 12 weeks on and off. So like I'd be bleeding for like a week, have a day or two, and then bleed again. And so I guess my period was in on that too.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was fun.
And when did you... When did you think about starting a second baby? Was that planned or?
No, not really. Thea was more of a surprise as well. Because the funny thing is, people all around me know I'm pregnant before I know I'm pregnant. And it's the most bizarre thing with Edie. We, after work one night, we picked up a friend because she was a bit inebriated, and then she just started rubbing my tummy and saying like there was like a baby Jack in there, and so that was really funny. And then it turned out that I was pregnant at the time, and then my mum and family started asking me if I was pregnant when I was pregnant with Thea, and I was like, no, that's not me, but it turns out it was me. So it's very bizarre. Very bizarre. So whenever someone says that, oh, someone's having a baby, I'm like, it better not be me.
Yeah. And so did you just take a pregnancy test because you thought that you should, or you missed a period, or what made you take a test?
So on a Saturday night before my sister's boyfriend's 21st, I had what I thought would be the start of my period, but it was implantation bleeding. And so when it didn't show up, in a few days, I was like, oh, maybe I should take a test. And lo and behold, got a positive on that.
Yep. And so you're pregnant with your second baby. How are you feeling emotionally about that?
John was a little bit stressed, but we were excited nonetheless. And then when we found out she was a girl, I was a little bit disappointed because I wanted another boy, but he was absolutely wrapped because he wanted a daughter.
Yeah, awesome. And did you think that you wanted to go back to the same hospital?
No, I never want to go to hospital ever again in my life.
Yeah.
No, so we...
So did you plan on a birthing centre?
Well, that was the plan anyway. We were all booked in to go to our birth centre because I needed to have an iron infusion, and so with that I was allowed to birth at the birthing centre. So had that done, had my infusion done, and we're all booked in to go to River Ridge. And then the day after, well, I suppose a couple of hours after my, probably 12 hours? No, what time did I have that? Just under a day after I had my iron infusion, I woke up in labour.
Oh, wow. And what was the reason for needing the iron infusion?
I'm anemic, so with every pregnant, well, with the pregnancies, it just makes it worse. So I had to have an iron infusion with Edie as well. With the iron infusion, my mum had come down to look after Edie while I went and had it done. So I'm very glad that she'd come down to have it done, like before my infusion, because she was asleep and I woke her up. I'm like, hey mum, you ready to be a nana again? And she's like, what? So that was cool.
Yeah, awesome. Do you want to take us through that then, and your labour and into your birth story?
So on the morning of June 16th, so 2 a.m., I woke up having contractions, and they weren't regular, and they were about 10 minutes apart, so I just tried to sleep through them and try and get some sleep between them, but then the pain was just too much to sleep through, and so at 3 o'clock, I started timing them, and then I labored quietly by myself until 5 o'clock, and then I woke John up and said that I was in labor, and I'm glad I did too. And then at 5:30, the pain just started getting more intense, and they just started getting closer together. So I just waited it out a little bit more, and then jumped in the shower about 6 o'clock. At 6:30, I got out, and I was like, "I think I need to push." And my mom's like,
"Oh my goodness!"
What? I was like, "I think I need to push." And she's like, and so she rang my midwife, and she'd just got home from another birth, and she was going to have a shower and then come around. But she decided to just, no, I'm going to get in the car and come around, and. My mum was on the phone to my midwife, I was like, I need to push. And my body just started involuntarily pushing. I'd made it to my bedroom, and my waters broke all over the floor in the bed. And it was, was like, I'm not doing this here. I'm not having this baby at home. And so we tried to get into the car to head to the birthing unit, but my body just had other plans. And my poor mum, she was beside herself. She was down at my lower region, just making sure that, you know, everything was okay and getting ready to catch this baby if she needed to. And luckily my midwife arrived on the scene just as I was about to push out Thea's head. And oh Lord, it was, yeah, so I had this baby in my bedroom, just holding onto my bed and the wall for support, and I had John behind me, and yeah, ended up having an unplanned home birth. It was very fast.
Yeah. Wow, what a crazy experience that would have been.
Yeah, so I wanted to have a drug-free birth, so at least I got that, but I didn't get my water birth that I wanted.
And so you're obviously at home. Did you birth the placenta okay as well?
Yeah, so so my midwife got me onto my bed, and I birthed the placenta, and I had a slight graze, so that was quite a right. And then we, everything was perfect. It turns out I had a short umbilical cord, what do you call it? Yeah. And so when I was given Thea, I had to bend down to hold her and kind of like shuffle backwards onto my bed. So that was quite funny.
And then and how did Thea go with latching?
She's a dream. She's an absolute dream. I had my nipple shields ready to use if I needed to. We used them for a couple of days, but then she just, we went to Auckland one day and I lost my shields. And so I had to feed her just with my breast. And so I did that. Yep. And from then on, she just refused the shield. So I've been breastfeeding her for the last 7 months, no shield. So I don't know where consultant got the fat, the flat nipple. So I've been able to feed her fine, and she has a slight lip tie. So
awesome. And how did you go with your physical recovery from this birth? Was there anything dramatic like there was last time, or you were okay?
No, it was absolutely fine. It's been great, actually. It's been such a good, this birth experience has just been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, amazing. And what about emotionally? Obviously, such a different birth experience. How did you deal with having a newborn and a toddler, and what was that like for you?
it's been trying, but because Eddie was there when Thea was born, he pretty much saw her being born, so I think that's made the transition for him a lot easier, which made it easier for me. But there has been moments where it's been a little bit trying.
Yeah. And have you got your period back while you're still breastfeeding, or you haven't got it back yet?
Still nothing. It's been great, actually.
Yeah, awesome. And are you planning on extending your family anymore, or you think you're complete with two little babies?
My brain says I'm done, but my heart and my ovaries say no, but I think we're done.
Yeah. It's probably tough after your amazing second birth experience.
Yeah, so we'll just leave it at the good and don't go anymore, just in case.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy how different they've both been. It's just, birth amazes me. Every time is just so different.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing your experiences with us. I think everybody's going to love your story. So thank you for sharing.
No, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. I'd love to hear your feedback. So either leave a review on the podcast app that you're listening on, or head to our Instagram at Kiwi Birth Tales and leave a comment there. If you're interested in sharing your birth tale, then please head to the Instagram page and use the email link to get in touch. Thanks again for listening. I really look forward to sharing the next episode with you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.